Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is good to have you here, and I want to express my appreciation that you take this time out of your busy day and night to study Genesis 3 with me. I know we have been here for quite a while, and maybe our pace is not very conducive to most people's limited attention spans. But, like in other disciplines, those who give the most undivided attention to the task get the most out of it. I trust that has been your experience in these verse-by-verse studies of the very early chapters of the book of Genesis. I promise you that if you set aside time each day, undivided attention time, to the Word of God, you will reap a great reward. Do not worry about the stress of the world swirling around us right now. You and I, let us focus on God and His Word. Setting aside all other distractions, we commit this short time to our Lord and our God. And now, with attentive hearts, we want to know what He has in store for us. So I will read Genesis 3:19 and then comment. I will share my insights. You no doubt have others, and I would be happy to hear your perspective as well. Just reach out to me by email or letter and tell me what you think. I'm serious. Let me know what you think. Genesis 3, verse 19. God is speaking to Adam, and God says, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." I have three things I want to say. Most likely I'll need to carry this into tomorrow, but we will see how far we get now. And the first insight I have is for you to highlight three key words. These are sweat, bread, and dust. I will repeat in the text, note the words sweat, bread, and dust. The word sweat is linked to the previous verse, verse 18. And we can read verses 18 and 19 together like this. "But thorns and thistles, the ground shall grow for you. You will eat the plants of the field, by the sweat of your face you will eat." Sweat. It consumes Adam's body because as a result of sin he is outside under the hot sun, down on his hands and knees, working the soil to produce his food. All around his arms and hands are thorns and thistles, making his work even more difficult. He is sweating it out. And all of this makes him aware, very aware, of how offensive his sin is to Holy God. The first word to highlight is sweat. It symbolizes hard work. The second word is bread. God says, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread." And bread symbolizes life. You may remember Jesus said of himself, "I am the bread of life." Bread offers the food, the fuel the body needs to run. Without some form of bread, we die. I am fully aware that the wheat we eat these days is generally not very good for us. Some years ago, I was quite taken by the book Wheat Belly, Lose the Wheat, Lose the Weight. My mind agrees with much in that book, but my belly drives a different thought. Eat bread. I personally love bread, or is it really the butter or mayonnaise I swipe all over it that gets me? Well, today we have other options, and we can pass over the bread, but in Bible times, bread was essential, and the wheat was not genetically modified. In the scriptures, bread symbolizes life, and man is going to have to work to get it. He will have to work until the day he dies to get it. "You will eat bread till you return to the ground," God said. Essentially, prior to his sin, Adam ate to work. After the fall, man works to eat. Work was always an essential element of life in the garden. Remember yesterday when I read from Genesis 2 that it was man's job to cultivate and to keep the garden? Work is not a part of God's punishment. Work was a part of God's design and creation. It is the difficulty in the work that now becomes part of the punishment. Eating bread means having the strength one needs to live, and bread symbolizes life. And man will work by the sweat of his brow to put bread on the table. The third key word here in Genesis 3:19 is dust. You can highlight that in your Bible. God says, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Well, dust symbolizes death. Dust symbolizes death. Listen to Ecclesiastes again today, this time at chapter 3. I'm reading the Old Testament wisdom in the book of the Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. Solomon writes, "I said to myself concerning the sons of men, God has surely tested them in order for them to see that they are but beasts. For the face of the sons of men and the face of beasts are the same. As one dies, so dies the other. Indeed, they all have the same breath, and there is no advantage for man over beast, for all is vanity. All go to the same place. All came from the dust, and all return to the dust." God says, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Solomon picks up on this and says, "All came from the dust, and all return to the dust." Here is that death that God spoke about in Genesis 2 when he warned the man and his wife off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I will say more about that in a minute. Have you captured these three key words? The first one is sweat, and it symbolizes hard work. The second word is bread, and it symbolizes life. And the third word is dust, and it symbolizes death. Given that this is the very word of God, we want to see this in the text. This is the first insight I want to share with you in Genesis 3, verse 19. My second insight deals with the very last part of verse 19 and these words, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." We have already established dust deals with death, and we must connect these words to the word of God back in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. So let me remind you what God said to Adam in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die.'" Verse 17 obviously raises the question, if God said, "In the day you will eat from it, you will surely die," then why did not Adam die the second he ate of the forbidden fruit of this tree? Why is Adam still physically alive after Genesis 3, verse 6, when he ate? And why does God repeat that death will be a reality for Adam by saying here in Genesis 3, 19, "To dust you shall return"? Furthermore, we can ask why, even at verse 19, God does not begin his punishment of Adam by saying, "You will die this very day." And of course, why did God not even bring death in his earlier punishment of Eve? On this point, there are several questions that can rightfully be asked. I am aware of two ways to answer this question. You might have another, but I would like to share two common ways this text is interpreted, and therefore these questions are answered. The first way to answer this is to say that death was always to be just the natural way human life was to come to an end. People who hold to this view say that death was just assumed to be a part of life in the Garden of Eden. God created man, and eventually man would naturally die. Proponents of this answer say death is just the natural end of man, not a direct punishment for man's disobedience. This makes this answer the wrong one, in my opinion. To me, verse 17 of Genesis 2 obliterates this idea. Was God speaking mere idle words when he said, "You will surely die"? I think not. So what is the other correct answer to our questions? The words, "you are dust, and to dust you shall return," do refer directly to the original command and to physical death. Please hear me on this. Prior to sin, according to God's original design, death was not the natural termination of man's life. I reject that death was the natural end of man's life. Rather, death is the punishment for sin. Death is the punishment for sin. Granted, God gives a delay in the death sentence, but he does this because God is gracious and because God is merciful. This needs to be clear. God does not delay Adam's death sentence because death is not a punishment. Or I can put it this way. God does not delay Adam's death because Adam was going to naturally die anyway. No. As theologian Dr. Alders writes, there is delay, but the punishment is not canceled. God's delay has to do with God's grace for Adam and Eve, God's mercy for Adam and Eve, and for us. But the punishment still stands. It still stands today. We die because we are sinners. All the time, people make this terrible mistake. They think that because God is gracious and merciful, therefore God will not judge and punish sin. Well, they think, I sin and I do not die, so therefore I will keep on sinning and possibly not even die. Should I die, or when at some far-off time I die, there is no judgment, no punishment really waiting for me. But that is just not true. That's a lie. Sin results in physical death. Death is the punishment for sin. Do not be deceived. God delayed the death sentence, but eventually Adam physically died. This is the correct answer to our questions. And when you come back tomorrow, we will pick up right here again as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.